Brachot Tes Cheshven, Wednesday the 14th of November, Rabbi Tzvi Marmorstein, The Faith of a Suicide Bomber.
I'd like to share with you a fascinating Balaturim, which connects the last Pasuk in Parashas Chayesorah to the first Pasuk in Parashas Toldos. The last Pasuk is Al Pnei Kol Echav Nofal, speaking about Yishmael, and it's saying that he dominated over all his brothers. Balaturim learns it slightly different. He says, "Apnei kol echav nofal" means when Yishmael, at the end of days, the end of time, their power actually falls. Nofal means he falls. Yishmael will fall. And who will rise? Mashiach, which is a descendant of Yitzchok. Ve'elu tedus Yitzchok ben Avraham. So that's the connection. When Yishmael, apnei kol echav nofal, when Yishmael falls, ve'elu tedus Yitzchok ben Avraham. Yitzchok, a descendant of Yitzchok, is going to rise. Mashiach is going to come. My question on this was that when we speak about Mashiach, we don't usually refer to Mashiach ben Yitzchak. We usually refer to Mashiach as Mashiach ben David. Why in this particular context is he referred and is related as we refer to him as a descendant of Yitzchak? Why is that? Surely it should be ben David. The first point. We know a lot about Yishmael. Another question. We know a lot about Yishmael. The Gemara tells us, Tisha Kabin, not Le Yishmael. There was 10 measures of Zanus Yod Le'ilam. 9 of them were taken by Yishmael. So Yishmael's a very immoral person. He's not just immoral. There's the peace treaties. He's not very good at keeping them. His honesty... not that great. My sister-in-law told me when they were in Bikur Cholim in Eretz Yisrael in the hospital, then the hospital staff came round offering meals, and the Bnei Yishmael lined up, obviously, to get their meal. And when they came round again to make sure that everyone has got, you know, they hadn't left anyone out, then obviously the Bnei Yishmael were there again to receive a second meal. No, we don't have yet. Can we have a second meal? And this wasn't just when it came to meals. When it came to anything in the hospital, they were giving out the balloons, the clown come to cheer everyone up. And they were there again. No, we don't have any balloons. We want a second one. So they're not very good at keeping the truth. And Gazlonim, so we've got Tisha Kabin, they're liars. And what they're most famous for is for their terror. And that's very difficult to understand, really, because we're saying they've, for the terror, they've got such that mushkosit. But on the other hand, we find they're very religious kind of people. They daven or they pray 3 to 5 times a day, so they're mushkosim. But nevertheless, on the other hand, they're very religious. How could this be? Someone believes in Hashem. The Rambam says in Tshuva that they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they believe in Hashem Echad. But on the other hand, they're such mushchasim. They're so destructive. I think perhaps this contradiction comes to light with the following analogy. Imagine you're in the airport, you're waiting, queuing up for your plane, and you see in the distance, you see someone coming into the airport, and he's dark-skinned, and you think, oh no, I hope he's not going on my flight. Heart skips a beat, and then you see that he's making his way towards your queue, and you think, I hope there's two, maybe my queue splits into two at some point. There's two people in this airline, they're just checking in the baggage, but there's also the baggage goes to a different flight, and you're checking him out very carefully, making sure that there's no wires sticking out of his pocket, and you see his wife is wearing a hijab, and you're very, very scared, and you're really, really frightened. And then a few seconds later, you see this guy's on the floor, on the mat. He's praying, and you think to yourself, you know, this is the guy that you just suspected of blowing himself up. Well, you were frightened. But on the other hand, now he's religious. But then you think to yourself, for them it's not a stira. It's not a contradiction for them. These are the kind of people. They're religious, they believe in Hashem, but on the other hand, they can create these kinds of situations. They're very powerful terrorists. So how can it be someone who's so destructive, he's got Tisha Kabin, he's liars, he's a terrorist, but on the other hand, he believes in Hashem Echad, he believes, according to the Rambam says he believes in Hashem Echad. That's the second point. So, another question I'd like to deal with is we find a distinction between Yishmael and Esau regarding his weapons. In the Torah says about Yishmael, Vayhi Reva Kashas. He was a person of the bow and arrow. And it doesn't actually just say that that's what he used a bow and arrow. We find that when Hagar was, Yishmael was dying, it says the distance between Hagar and Yishmael was kimetachne keshes, the distance of a bow shot. So he's very much connected with keshes, with a bow and arrow. And you could say this is, you know, so it happens to be that the Torah says that he was a bow and arrow, but there's nothing intrinsic, there's nothing real about it. But the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says, Noilet b'keshes, who is born under the mazel of keshes, v'nisraba b'keshes, and he multiplies with keshes. That means he is very much connected, intrinsically connected, with the idea of a bow. On the other hand, we find Esau is connected with the cheref, with the sword. It says, Achar b'chatichya, Yitzchak gives him a bracha, Achar b'chatichya. So what is this distinction? Why Yishmael? You know, it's not just because he couldn't afford swords. Swords more expensive, and therefore he had to go and get himself a bow and arrow. That's not the case. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar is saying, Noilet b'keshes, he's actually intrinsically connected with the bow, and Esav, whereas Esav is Achav Chotichya, he lives by the sword. What's the difference? So in order to answer these questions, the question of what's the connection between the falling of Yishmael and the rising of Yitzchak, who's the grandfather of Mashiach, and the stira that we find, that on the one hand they are so such destructive people, but on the other hand they believe in Hashem. And on the third point was, what's the distinction, what's the difference between Yishmael and Esav regarding their arms? So we have to get a deeper understanding of who Yishmael is. And perhaps one can do this through the following analogy. Imagine you were new in town, and you came to shul, whichever shul it was, and someone comes over to you. There could be two kinds of people who welcome you. Two very different kinds of people. First person comes over to you and says, "Hey, a new face, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? My name is this, nice to meet you." And walks away. Quite a cold kind of relationship. It acknowledges you, but stays distant. Second person can come over to you and say, "Shalom Aleichem, it looks like you're new in town, what's your name? How are you doing? Maybe I can help you." Doesn't just offer his own help, he offers his wife's help. He says, "Maybe I'll bring in a meal tonight. My wife, I'm sure she doesn't mind bringing in a meal." And gets his wife to bring in a cake as well later. And he's a very, very friendly kind of person. And there's no distance between them. There's immediate connection. And he offers his help in anything he can do. He takes down, he swaps numbers. He's a completely different kind of person. The first person is very cold and distant. And the second one is automatically breaks all those boundaries and connects immediately. What's the pshat? Because naturally, there's a distance between two people. They don't know each other. They've got no shaykhis with each other. They've never seen each other before. So there's a boundary, there's a barrier. So one person keeps that barrier, and the second person breaks the barrier. He connects immediately through his warmth, through his love. Perhaps Yishmael is like the second person. Second person is not all that great. He's very bechesedic, but he has a disadvantage as well. He doesn't just offer his own help; he offers his wife's help and makes her make the supper as well. I mean, the lack of boundaries can go wrong as well. But where does he get this idea to be able to connect immediately? He gets that from Avraham. But let's have a look at what the Torah writes about Yishmael. The Torah described Yishmael as Perah Adam. When the Malach tells Hagar that she's going to have a child, it says, "V'hu yiyeh Perah Adam," he's going to be a wild man. And the Reb Shimshon Rafal Hirsch picks up, he says, Perah, if you take the word Perah, the root of Perah is Peresh, he says you find that always as expression of freedom. He says, Perah, it comes in many times, it says, Parutz, which is Peresh Tzadi, Bob Tzadi, which means immoral. Perah is wild. Parach is flower. Parua is to reveal. So everything begins with a peiresh. Peiresh means is an expression of freedom. Interesting to note that freedom and peiresh, free, have a connection. The fr and peiresh are connected. But the so the Shimshon Phil Hirsch is saying the description of the Torah of the hu yiyeh per adam, he will be a free man, a wild man, a person which has no discipline, has no boundaries, is expressed in the Torah of Bahu Yiyeh Per Adam. The Maharal Diskin, Maharal Diskin points out that a very fascinating idea. He says, usually we have the Shem Ha'etzem comes before the Shem HaTorah. The word which expresses the essence comes before the word which expresses the description in the Torah. For example, Ben Chorin. Ben means the son of. Chorin is freedom. So we would have expected the Torah to write over here that he is Adam Perim. He's a man. What is his essence? He's a man of freedom. Says Maril Diskin, no. What the Torah is saying is his essence is Perim. What is he? He's a person without any discipline, he just wants freedom in the form of a man. So he's Perah, freedom, in what kind of form? Not in the form of a plant, in the form of a man. His freedom, his idea, his essence, his entity is Perah. He wants to be free. Where does he get this from? He gets this from his father, Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is also, he invites Arabs into his tent. He immediately connects with people which most people would never want to connect with. But there's no barriers. There's no barriers. There's the immediate connection, the immediate love, expression of... That's where Yishmael gets it from. But instead of having Avraham Avinu's discipline, when it comes to the Rotzon Hashem, when Hashem tells him to go, firstly, to throw out Yishmael, he loves Yishmael. But nevertheless, no. He's willing to give himself up for Rebbein Shem. He's willing to be disciplined. Same as when Yitzchak, he loves Yitzchak, but nevertheless, when it comes to the word of Ribon Shem, he's able to control himself and to listen to Ribon Shem. He doesn't overstep the boundaries. Whereas Yishmael just remains with the basic root of Avraham, the basic essence of Avraham, which is to not be limited, and automatically connect through that la'av. What the Rebbetzin calls this is chesed de tuma. It's chesed gone wrong. Chesed without gevul, without the boundaries, is chesed de tumah. Whereas Esav, on the other hand, is a son of Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the man of discipline, the man of boundaries, the man of control. But instead of using Yitzchak's middah to control himself, he uses the middah of Yitzchak and controls others, and that's why achar b'chotichya. He disciplines other people. So let's go back to this distinction between Esav and Yishmael with regarding to their weapons. What is the bow and arrow used for? The bow and arrow is used because I can't really get to this guy. I want to fight with him, but I can't get to him. So there's a boundary between, there's a distance, there's a limit. Yishmael says, I'm not going to be limited. I'm going to be overshoot that limit. I'm going to take my bow and arrow and not be limited, not be mugbul by this natural distance. And therefore, I take a bow and arrow and I shoot over and be able to reach, and be able to be pirate scared, and be able to reach a further distance. That is an expression of Yishmael's essence. His essence is Pere Odom, I'm a free man. You don't stop me with boundaries, with Gvulim. I'll be able to get you down there. What is Esav? Esav is the man of discipline. So he has to, he's got a boundary, you know, there's a limit, there's a distance between the two. So he stays within his court. That's why he uses the cherif. Perhaps in today's world, the thing that we're most frightened about from the Bnei Yishmael is the missile. We're not frightened about their arms. Their technology is not all that great. But their missile is what we're scared of. This could be a reflection of the modern-day keshes. Let's take it a step further. So we're saying that Yishmael is a man of being put together. He can't be bound to the limits of any limit. He wants to be free, wants to break free of it, and that's why he's Pere Odom. He's the free guy. He can't have gvulos. This will affect his emunah too. This essence of being free, of wanting, of needing his desires, of that's going to affect his emunah. Because his emunah is going to be a reflection of who he is. He believes in the Rabbeinu Shem. Do you know why? Because he wants to get and wants to get his own desires. V'hu yeh pere odom, he'll be a free man. Therefore, I need everything that I can get hold of. I've got no discipline. I've got nothing that I'm avatal myself to Rabbeinu Shem. No, I need my tithes. Therefore, I'm willing to do anything for those tithes, to achieve those tithes, to have that which I need. And his emunah is also directly affected from this. His emunah is, I believe in the Rabbeinu Shem, but not to submit my own desires to Rabbeinu Shem, but rather faket, to submit Rabbeinu Shem's desires to me. Rabbeinu Shem has to listen to me. I need certain things, I'm willing to do whatever to achieve that. That is his emunah. My old Rosh Kelel, V'Yakov Shatz, said over a beautiful idea, which brings this out. He says, when Avraham Avinu meets the Arabs, they're about to, when he invites them into his home, he offers them not a drink, but some water to wash their feet. And Rashi tells us, why does he offer them this thing? So he says, in order to wash off their feet from the dust. Why their feet from the dust? Because he wants to wash up, they are mishtacha there, the afar shavavim. They bow down to the dust on their feet. So he asks the question, why is there dust on their feet? They bow down to the dust. Punk, the dust of their feet, they've only got that dust to worship. Why do they have to bow down? What's the significance of bowing down to the dust of their feet? So he answered the beautiful idea. What's the dust of the feet represent? The dust of the feet represent where I'm standing, that's what's holy. What I need, my own desires, that's what's holy, that's what I bow down to. I need certain desires, I have certain wants, and I'm willing to bend anything to achieve those desires. That's what I serve. I serve the dust of my feet, I don't serve dust. I serve where I stand, that's what's holy. So the emunah is also affected by their tithes. And perhaps, it's my own idea, that it's in their names. Already is rooted deeply in their names. The Pirkei Devar letter says that there's two nations which have the Shem Hashem in their name. Yishmael and Yisrael. What's Yishmael? Yishma Ke. Rabbeinu Hashem is going to listen to me. What's Yisrael? Yoshor Ke. Hashem is Yoshor. Hashem is straight. Hashem is perfect. That means the difference between Klal Yisrael and Munah and Yishmael's emunah is Klal Yisrael's emunah is Yoshor Ke. What Rabbeinu Shem does is correct. Yishmael's emunah is Yishma Ke. Rabbeinu Shem's got to listen to me. I need my desires. I need what I want. And Rabbeinu Shem has to listen to that. Rabbeinu Shem has to fit into what I want. I'd just like to finish off with a story and then get back to the first question. There was once a couple who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem, they'd been blessed with a very large family. They had 7 children, and unfortunately, they didn't have so much money, and they were squashed in a tiny, tiny apartment. And they had just 2 bedrooms, one for their parents and one for their 7 children. And it was getting a bit uncomfortable there, and the wife says to the husband, you know, you've got to do something about this. We can't stay here anymore. And he says, but listen, I can't make any ends meet here. I'm just about making the month. I'm just about to pay the rent, and you want me to move out? It's impossible. And they have a discussion, and he can see that his wife is really upset, and he's got to do something about it. And he doesn't know what to do. He's thinking, and he decides he's going to go to the coastal. He's going to Daven. That's what he does when he's the Tzara, he needs a Yeshua. He goes to the coastal. And he Daven's at the coastal, he goes, and he's really shaking hard, and concentrating, crying even, and really putting all his effort in. And after half an hour, he receives a tap on the shoulder. He looks around. Someone says to him, why are you crying? He says, I'll tell you why. And he tells him. So he says, come with me. So the youth says, and he goes out the coastal plaza, and he sees parked there in a fancy, brand new Bentley. He gets into this guy's car, and before he gets in, he's making sure he rubs his feet, you know, make sure it's not dirty. And they say, don't worry about that. He drives in this car. He's never been in a car before, let alone a Bentley. And his mum, he was an. He goes to, and they drive to a new building complex. And he says, come in. And they go downstairs, there's a receptionist there. And he says, do you have any houses? Do you have any apartments available? So he says, yes. How many bedrooms would you like? So he says over to the guy, we'll call him Yanko, how many bedrooms do you need? So what do you mean, how many bedrooms do I need? How many kids do you have? He says, I have 7. He says, okay, you need 5 bedrooms then. So they, have you got anything with 5 bedrooms? He says, yes, we've got something with 5 bedrooms. A duplex, top floor, go upstairs. And they go upstairs together. And he's never been in something like that before. And he's looking around. And he says, do you like it? Yanko, do you like it? So he says, yeah, beautiful. But what's it got to do with me? He says, just do you like it? Look around, see if you like it. Anyway, he's looking around. He sees that he likes it. They come back downstairs, and the rich man says, I would like to take it. So he says, so what's your name? The receptionist says, and how are you going to pay? So he says, I'll pay for, you know, one transaction. He says, what's your name? He says, sorry, again, what's your name? Yanko. So he writes down Yanko. Basically, he buys him the apartment. And Yanko's like, what's going on here? I've never met you before. So he tells him, rich man tells him, that unfortunately he'd been diagnosed with a serious machla, and he is a very rich man, he doesn't have any relatives. He went to the coastal to see if any people need any help. He went there to help people, to, you know, to do mitzvahs with his money. And he decided, he saw this person davening very, very sincerely, and he decided to offer him money, and therefore he bought the time. So obviously, when Yanko hears that, he's very, very, very upset to hear about this person. But on the other hand, he's very excited. He sees Hashem's given him Yeshua, and he's tremendously happy. And he goes home, and he's singing and dancing all the way home. He runs into the. He's ringing the doorbell. He's running and jingles his keys. And his wife thinks, he's lost it. Too much pressure. But he goes in and he says, no, it's true. I can even show you the papers, the documents, which prove that we own the house. And she can't believe it as well. And she says, after the Shemaya, very, very thankful. Hodol Hashem ki tov. Tremendous. The next day, the guy goes to work again. And he tells his business partners, all the people working with him, employers, he tells them about his story. He said, really? Is that what happens? You go to the coastal, and there's a rich man standing there. We also need to go. We're on the same payroll as you. We'll go there too. We need a bigger apartment. So they all arranged the next day, they arranged a big tender to go to the coastal. And they're all armed with their tehillims and exactly what they're going to do, which capital. They know all exactly. They ask him, you know, what did you do? Which capital did you say? Which one works? So he comes, they all come to the coastal, and they're standing there at the coastal, shuffling away. And they say it's half an hour, so when it's getting near to half an hour, they're really looking over their shoulder, and one guy's whispering to the other, is he here? Is he here? And they're dabbling, and some of them are really serious about it. And after half an hour, get a tap on the shoulder, oh Hashem, they look round, stakat, stakat. And they were very upset. Some of them stayed there for another half an hour, maybe didn't work the first time, they'll try it again. And they went to a Rav to ask him, what's the difference between us and our friend Yankel? And the Rav told them, very simply, he says, Yankel davened to Hashem. He put everything in Hashem's hands, and Hashem sent him the Yishua. You davened to the rich man, Hashem sends you the poor man. We don't decide how Rabbeinu Shalom wants to run the world. Our Muna is Yashar King. Hashem is we are called Yisrael, which represents Yashar King, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yashar. Obviously, we can daven for Rachmi. Our tefillahs are all about Rachmi. But the first thing that we have to know is Yashar King, Rabbeinu Shalom is Yashar. And afterwards, only after that, we can daven for. We're not like Yisrael, because Yishmakel, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to listen to me. I'll tell Rabbeinu Shalom how to do it. No. That's not the case. It's Yashar King. And that's why, perhaps, that's the connection between the Fila, when Yishmael falls, and then Yitzchok rises. Why Yitzchok? We ask, why is Mashiach the descendant of Yitzchok? We never usually refer to what's special about Yitzchok. And the answer is that Yitzchok is the diametric opposite of Yishmael. What is Yishmael? Yishmael represents Yishmakel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to listen to me. Full of tivus, full of expression of himself. Yitzchok is complete opposite. He's the bittul of himself. Complete is batlus out of all the others. He's the one which represents that Ribbono Shel'olam is everything. I'm willing to give up my life. I'm willing to go on the Akedah. On to be mevatel my own rotzen for the Ribbono Shel'olam. Batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono. And the bracha is, we should all use this tremendous middah that we have. Our namesake. Yashakel, Yisrael is Yashakel, and then we should be zecher ultimately to the bia of Mashiach, which comes from Yitzchak, which is the expression of this mid of Yashakel, and be zecher to Mashiach. I've been here, Amen.